Psalm chapter 116. I started this message last week. Psalm chapter 116. Today we're going to read verses 12 and also verse 17. Psalm 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Now he's asking this question to himself. He's pondering, he's thinking, he's meditating. What can I give to the Lord for all the blessings, all the benefits, all the provisions, all the grace, all the kindness, all the help? Really, you start thinking about all that you have. Boy, it ought to fill up your heart with thanksgiving and with joy. And so he's being very thoughtful. What can I render? What can I give in response to all that the Lord has blessed me with? And he says in verse 17, this is the title of our message, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." So he really answers himself. Here's what I can give unto the Lord. Here's what I can do. I can call on His name. I can praise Him. I can thank Him and offer the offering of thanksgiving. You know, that's something we ought to do, as I expressed last Sunday, not just once a year, because it's a national holiday. But I believe that you and I ought to reflect, we ought to think deeply upon the way that God has blessed us, unworthy as we are, that He's been so kind, so gracious. Last week we answered a couple of questions. What is thanksgiving? It's an attitude. It's one that's expressed inwardly and outwardly by having thanks for what God has done, is doing, and will do. It's simply having an attitude, getting your mind right every day, saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. He's given me life and breath and health and all things." And if you're saved, you have much more than just temporal blessings. You have much more than just a roof over your head, food in your belly, clothes on your back. If you're saved by the grace of God, it means that God Himself, by the power of His Spirit, has reached down into the miry pit that you were in and fetched you and drawn you out and translated you out of darkness into light, out of deadness and depravity into life and joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've come to that place where you saw yourself broken, corrupted, polluted with sin, estranged from God, and you simply cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." And you know what? Every day ought to be one that you are especially thankful. Very soon it's going to be my 38th birthday. What are you all laughing about? All right, let me rephrase that. My new birthday.
38 years ago in November, the Lord performed the new birth in my heart. 38 years ago, the Lord brought me out of a life of wickedness and sin and ungodliness and brokenness, and He changed me completely. He gave me the grace to turn from sin, but more importantly, turn to Him in repentance. And He gave me the grace to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in my place. When He was on the cross, His mind, His thoughts were on me. He was bearing my sins personally. He offered His life, His merits, His obedience, His righteousness, His blood, His all. He gave everything. They took Him off that tree as a lifeless corpse. And they laid Him in a tomb. And in 3 full days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Unlike any other account of grace in all the world, there's not another religion that can boast of God becoming man and dying for the sins of people who had offended Him and broken His laws to put away their sins, make them right with God, and then raise from the dead after that sacrifice to affirm it and confirm that the work was done. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, you ought to be shouting glory, hallelujah, every day. I know the rock from which I've been hewn. I know the hole that I was in and the miry pit that I had dug for myself. And it's a miracle how God can change sinners like me and save them and give them hope and joy and blessings that I don't deserve. I'm here to tell you, I live every day with the realization I deserve hell. My sins, I deserve an eternity in the lake of fire for my wickedness and my sin and my transgressions. But in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. There is grace. So when this truth comes home to your heart, man, it makes praise and thanksgiving a lot easier. If every day you focus on who you are in Christ Jesus and all the benefits that He daily loads you with, our hearts should be bursting with thanksgiving this morning. So, today, we want to look at how are we to offer and express thanks to God. How can we do that? Well, look at verse 1 of Psalm 116. He said, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. How about starting off with this? If you're saved by the grace of God, why don't you say, Lord, I love You. Lord, I devote myself to You. I'm so thankful for what You've done. I every fiber of my being, my body, soul, and spirit ought to be dedicated to Your honor and Your glory each and every day. Why not express with your mouth, with your life, that you really love the Lord? that you're willing to follow Him and obey Him and walk in His ways every day. Jesus said this, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He said, ye are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Do you really love God? Then express it with obedience. Live a life of obedience to God. Walk before the Lord in the way of service. Verse 9, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Don't just say it with your mouth that you love the Lord. Walk before Him. Walk with Him. Abide in Christ. Demonstrate that there's been a miraculous change in your heart. It's affected the way you see things. It's affected the attitudes that you have, the way you conduct yourself. I'll walk before the Lord and my mouth will have praise in it rather than cursing and bitterness. I'll have an attitude that's filled with love and grace and joy and peace rather than hatred and jealousy and envy. Walk before the Lord as though you belong to Him. You've been redeemed by His blood. You owe Him everything. I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. When you think of all that the Lord has done in your life, you ought to render unto Him thanksgiving and love. Not just with your mouth. You see, there's a whole host of religious people that are gathered in churches all across the land today, and with their mouth they say they love the Lord, but by the way they live the rest of the week, they don't show any evidence that they've been changed by the power of God. If you love the Lord, express it by how you live. Spend time in prayer, communing with God. Look at verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. He's given you an idea what His prayer consisted of. You know what prayer is, right? It's when you talk to God. When you pour out your heart before Him. When you go to Him, you confess sins, you adore Him, you worship Him, you exalt Him, you pray for other people. Like today, we've been praying for Jackie Van Sickle, that God will bless her with a good surgery upcoming. We are praying for two preachers specifically who have pancreatic cancer, praying that if God be pleased, He'd touch them, but if not, His will be done. With Bill James and Andy Garty. Today, I added another name, Caleb Evans, a young Christian man, 24 years old, just diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. You see, we got plenty to pray about. If we'll give thought to these things and take these matters before the Lord, pray for my grandchildren. That God would do a mighty work of grace in their hearts and keep them from the evils of this world and all the wickedness that is out there. Pray that God will have His hand upon them and protect them and watch over them. You and I, we got plenty to pray about. Do you believe God is? And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? Talk to Him. You got burdens in your heart? Go to God. Talk to Him directly through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can come to Him in Jesus' name by the authority of His work and His person and know that God will hear you. You see, we can express thanks by praying. Spend time with God in prayer. How about recognizing how bountifully God has dealt with you? I started thinking about this, and I've been doing this a lot lately. I really think that people rarely give any thought to how many blessings we really have. The way God provides each and every day. I go way back to my childhood. And I think of the values that my parents instilled in me and in our home. About working hard. Being responsible. Being respectful. I remember when I was a kid, I never answered somebody just yes or no. It was always yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Because I was taught to have respect. I thank God for that. I'm 59 years old, and that truth still abides in me even after all the wickedness that I wrought in my younger years that never had left me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I started thanking God for the teachers that He put in my life that gave me a love for learning, that stirred me to want to read and know and grow mentally, intellectually. Thank God for things like that. You see, these are things we don't think about very often. What we think about is the big things, you know, like the car that we wanted. Yeah, but you know what? You get that car and you got to start paying on it. You don't feel so thankful then, do you, when you got to pay for it? Be thankful. Express it on a daily basis. Look what he said in verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? How many benefits do you have? Food, clothing, shelter, salvation. I thank God for this church. I thank God that we are a gospel witness in Lawrence County. That we knock on doors, that we talk to people face to face, that we pass out tracts, that we support missionaries that are willing to go to places that we can't go. I'm thankful that there is a church that is earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That teaches truth and strives, as the membership strives to practice it. Now, no, we're not. You know, we don't have the biggest promotions. We don't have a lot of entertainment. But I tell you what we do have, a genuine love for Jesus Christ. For His truth and for the souls of men. I'm thankful to be part of that. And then determined to serve the Lord with gladness. Look at verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Verse 16, precious, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Did you catch that? He said, Thou hast loosed my bonds, meaning that he recognized that at one time he was a slave, a servant, to sin. God loosed those bounds. Now, Lord, I offer myself to you in service. What a paradox. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest master that you could ever have. Because He loved you. He gave Himself for you. He died in your stead. He gave you His righteousness. He put His Spirit within you to guide, to enlighten, to encourage, to comfort, to empower. Man, we ought to be thankful. We ought to serve Him with gladness. You know, if you're walking around as a believer, and you're moping around, looking like you get up every morning and you drink sauerkraut juice. Just sour, got a bad attitude. Yeah, I'm saved. You know, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. People ought to see. We ought to demonstrate. I'm happy I'm saved. A lot of times people will ask me, hey, how you doing today? People that you don't even know, people that you've never met. And I'll say something like, much better than I deserve by the grace of God. Sometimes I'll say, me, I'm happy, man. I'm saved by the grace of God. My sins have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. You talk about a conversation starter. You usually don't go a whole lot past that. But we have opportunities every day. Look over there at Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. These are ways that you and I can express thanks to God, and offer thanks to God every day. Pay your vows. Verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Make holy resolutions. And ask God to give you the grace to walk in His truth and to keep them. The Lord saved me 38 years ago. It was none of my doing. I had nothing to do with it. I was just the recipient of sovereign grace. He changed my heart. Changed my life. And my first vow to God was, I declared publicly, I confessed Him that He was my Lord. That my life was no longer going to go in the direction of wickedness and drunkenness and sin. But I was making a holy, solemn vow to serve Him. And I expressed that publicly when I submitted myself to scriptural baptism performed by a New Testament Baptist church. I presented myself, declaring publicly and symbolically that I'm dead to my old way of life, that I've been raised anew with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to walk with Him and in Him and serve Him faithfully in His New Testament church, the local church. I made that vow. I take it seriously. It is solemn. Pay your vows. Be faithful unto the Lord, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Be faithful. Serve God. Pay your vows. In 1984, I'm making sure that's right. I proposed to my wife. We were married on July 21st, 1984. That day, I made a vow. She made a vow. We entered into holy matrimony. And we determined and we spoke before everyone. I'm going to stick with her through thick and thin. I'm going to love her for better or for worse. She definitely got the short end of the stick when we got married. But you know what? I am thankful that God has preserved and strengthened those vows that I took that day. What a blessing it is to have a good wife and then to have children and teach them the truth and see them grow up and trust the Lord and then begin to have families of their own and see them teaching, instructing their families in the way of truth. That vow ought to bring forth fruit. I don't know what kind of resolutions that you've made before God. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in making resolutions. You haven't read Psalm 119. All of Psalm 119, David has said, I'm going to walk before the Lord. I'm going to love His precepts. I'm going to follow His statutes. You see, when you mouth something, when you say, I'm going to be faithful by the grace of God, it puts good pressure on you. It makes you accountable. Pay your vows unto the Lord. And offer sincere praise to God on a daily basis. Look at verse 19. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Offer sincere praise. And it doesn't have to be for real big things. Praise Him. Rejoice in Him. Have this spirit about you of gratitude. Some old Puritan said, gratitude to God makes even a temporal blessing a taste of heaven. Jeremy Taylor said, from David, learn to give thanks for everything. Every furrow in the book of Psalms is sown with the seeds of thanksgiving. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Everything, all of life, habitually, consistently offering praise and thanksgiving for what God has done, is doing, and will do. You know, when you're actively serving, obeying, praising, it's not going to be hard for you to speak of His name. It's just going to kind of bubble out. I love it when my son gives those devotions about witnessing. He witnesses to people all the time. You and I ought to do the same. It ought to flow out of us. We ought to take every opportunity. Psalm 116 and verse 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Wow, have you believed? Tell somebody about what Christ has done in your life. Tell somebody about the power of the gospel. Tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ for poor, broken sinners. That's how we can express our thanksgiving to God. Another man said, when thankfulness overflows the swelling heart and breathes in free and uncorrupted praise for benefits received, heaven takes such acknowledgement as fragrant incense
and doubles all its blessings. Remember that. When you praise God and you worship Him and you express it by the way in which you live, I believe God will bless you for it. Now, what are the results of having a thankful spirit, of offering thanksgiving to God? Well, first and foremost, when you obey the command to be thankful, you're glorifying God. And that should be the number one aim and goal of your life. Psalm 69 verse 30 says this, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. You magnify the Lord when you have a spirit of thanksgiving. You're recognizing every day all the benefits, all the blessings, all the encouragement. Another result, you won't have so much anxiety in your life. You won't be worrying and fretting if you got your mind on the right things. You won't worry so much. I'll tell you what, people are overcome with worry and pressure and anxiety in our world today. And they're looking for a whole host of ways to escape it. And I'm here to tell you, you can only find that release in Jesus Christ. Listen to what this says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? People get all worked up over politics, over sports, over things that in eternity really aren't going to make a whole lot of difference. I've learned this. If you'll have a thankful spirit and you'll keep your mind on the Lord and you pray about things and you cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you, you won't be so worrisome. You won't be so filled with anxiety if you realize our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. No matter what circumstances may arise in my life, I take comfort. If God can split the Red Sea for the Israelites, He can make a way for me. If God can give courage and conviction and power to a shepherd boy to defeat a giant twice his size, then God can help me when I face the Goliaths of life. But it's all about keeping your mind right. Keeping your mind on the Lord and being thankful. The habit of thanksgiving will produce a pleasant, cheering disposition. You ever met somebody that you were just glad to be around? You know people like that? That encourage you? That are a blessing to you? That have a good disposition, a good attitude, a good spirit, a good way about them? Well, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 51 in verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion He will comfort all her waste places. And He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Well, I want to be filled with that kind of an attitude. One that's peaceful, settled. One that my life can somehow be a blessing to my family and to other people. Where I'm not always looking how I can gain, but how I can be a blessing. A thankful spirit will give you that kind of disposition. Where you're not always looking to get something from somebody, but you're willing to try to be a help to them, a blessing to them, an encouragement to them. We need more of that in this old world. People are mad about everything. People are angry. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be all tore up. I want to be thankful and peaceful and joyful in my God. You know, God will reward you if you have this spirit. If you offer unto Him this life of thanksgiving. My last scripture. Boy, Jerry likes it when I say it's my last scripture. The whole sermon, that lit him up, boy. When I said this is going to be it, man, that made him happy. Good job, Jerry. Hebrews 13. Verse 15 says this, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." You see, there's a reward. God is pleased when we offer to Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I believe you'll be rewarded in heaven. Not because you deserve it, but because of God's grace working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you just want to give it back to Him. All that the Lord would really impress upon us. I want to encourage you. Don't think of Thanksgiving as a one-day holiday where you eat a lot of turkey. Think of it as an attitude that you ought to be expressing each and every day of your life. And live it out. And practice it. Let's all stand. We're going to have a hymn.